At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's free. Fuck yourself.
Ladies, gentlemen, NBs, this is the Eat, Sleep, Healthy, Repeat podcast, your weekly AEW review and breakdown. I dropped the repeat a while ago. I don't know why that just flew out of my mouth right there, but whatever, you know. It's the Eat, Sleep, Healthy podcast. Jesus, that's hard to fucking break. I've said that so many times. I mean, to be honest with you, the repeat's kind of implied anyway, so. But anyway, this is the ESE. I'm the Duke of Derps, also known as the Digital Fandom, also known as the Least Fandom. And this is the Shai Hulud himself. The digital fucking, I don't know, Reaper. You know, Charlie. What's up, dog? How's it going?
Oh, absolutely lovely. You want to talk about a week where we got all the in-ring sickos going at it? This is one of those weeks.
I mean,
this is one of those weeks.
But most of them were fucking cooking this week. And a few others that are in that category that you just don't really see get that opportunity all that often. Yeah, your Rocky Romero's, man, it was mostly last week, but you know, like, people are getting opportunities lately, which I'm really happy with. Something I'm not really happy with, man, Charlie, the Fed, they love to be fucking so smug about when they fucking steal AEW people or they get people back to AEW yoinked or whatever, right? And I just gotta say, the things that are being said about Andrade right now, I mean, all I can really say to the Fed, there's really only one thing. I think Okada put it best this week, Charlie.
Shut up, bitches!
I mean, like, the guy's, it sucks for him, I'll admit. I don't know if you have that in news or not, what's going on with him, but what a fucking tragedy. He wasn't getting used in AEW, I'll give you that. Which is also a tragedy, but like, at least he wasn't only facing the other Mexicans or other, you know, luchadors, I should say, you know?
And he doesn't seem too happy about it. Andrade's not one that's afraid to hit social media.
It felt like it was like, didn't it kind of feel like the vibe was like Charlotte was going to bail on WWE because she wasn't having a good time there? You know what I mean? Like, and maybe she wasn't going to go to AEW, but maybe she would at least do an indie run, or maybe she'd just retire. I mean, she's already going to go down on the women's version, or the women's version, like as a woman in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? I mean, undoubtedly.
Oh, God, yeah.
She's probably the most successful outside of Mercedes, and Mercedes is only more successful because she's done it elsewhere. You know what I mean? But out of all the other wrestlers of the women's revolution, if you will, I think she's probably the most successful, certainly in terms of championships. I mean, maybe her and Becky are, like, right on par. You know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of sad to see them both being not the greatest position right now, you know, like, but it, you know, I mean, that's what you get with the Fed. So thank you for that great quote, Okada. But yeah, Charlie, how are you feeling this week, brother? We started a new podcast this week, brother. We got fantasy going. So check that out. You know, it's got its own podcast feed. We'll have links to everything. You know, we'll have everything linked together. I'm sure it'll be in the link tree as well now. And if not, I'm sure you're going to update that now. But yeah, no, I mean, we got some really cool stuff coming down the pipe with that. I mean, do you want to spend a little bit of time talking about that really quickly, Charlie, before we get into like the main?
We can tee it up. I mean, so it's our new podcast. And if you guys have been here for a long time, you know that last year or 2 years ago, we started doing Andor reviews at the end of our fucking show just because we wanted to have an outlet where we could really talk about our love for everything sci-fi, fantasy, you know, everything that is under that umbrella and more, right? And I mean, tomorrow, literally, we're kicking this thing off fast. We're going to be reviewing The Acolyte, and we already have our first episode up. So depending on when you're listening to this podcast, our Acolyte thing might already be up. Like, I don't know when you guys are listening. I know a lot of people like to listen to it, you know, right before they watch AEW during the week, and we really appreciate that. We're kind of your intro to the week, capping off the week before, right? That's kind of our little gimmick here. And yeah, we just spent a lot of time. I think it's safe to say that was our most passion-filled podcast we've ever had. Even just video we've ever done together. It wasn't on video, but just over the course of, you know, 7-8 years we've been doing this, that that was so passion filled, and we joked about it after. We just went 2 hours, and I don't even think either of us grabbed a fucking drink. Like, we were fucking rolling.
We locked in, dude. Okay, this is what happened on Sunday, y'all. I got off work super early because I'd gotten done pretty quickly, right? Which, by the way, I did a great job, so obviously I can just do it on Sunday and be chill. You know what I mean? Like, but anyway, I also, shit, what was I saying? Oh yeah, no, I got home and we were like, yeah, let's get, you know, we're gonna record and it shouldn't take us that long because this is just like, you know, the intro podcast, and we'll game after. We didn't game that night. You went to bed after we got done recording. Like, that's how late.
Yeah, that's how late we went. Oh, that was fun.
We tried to hop in some ranked, and you were like, and I was like, even I was like, yeah, I don't think we're gaming tonight. You know, like, which, you know, I mean, that just shows you how much we care. And I've wanted to do some kind of official show like that for years. I just feel like I don't know. I could have started like a movie review, like solo show years ago, you know? I've known enough about movies for long enough, but I just didn't feel like I had the credibility. And I feel like having done this podcast, this one here, for like almost 3 years now, I think, right, Charlie? Like,
started in September of 2021. So we're going on, we're bridging 4 years now.
Jesus fucking Christ. That's actually insane. I don't think I've ever done anything in my life for that long. That's nuts.
Wait, no, right. 3 years. Hold on. Don't listen to me.
Yeah. Math. We're edging 4 years. We're playing with the tip of 4 years, but anyway, and, you know, I make sure it gets attention, you know what I mean? But that being said, you know, I feel like and even though there's 4 years of podcasting before then, obviously, but at the same time, I feel like, I don't know, I just feel more credentialed now, if that makes, like, I've been doing this for a while, even if nobody besides our audience knows about it, you know what I mean? I feel more legit. But at the same time, I just really want to talk about that stuff because I honestly haven't had a passion over it. Like, we were doing movie and TV reviews forever ago, you know, like, I think the earliest ones go back to like 2017, 2018, maybe, you know, like we just would talk about stuff randomly. Didn't really do that well, but it was just for us really, you know, because we wanted a platform to talk about it and share our thoughts. Now we have that again. And I don't know, join us for this project. It should be really fun. Eat, Sleep, Elite Fantasy. Coming at you tomorrow. So our work weeks just got even more chaotic. Thanks, Charlie. by the way, for those of you that don't know, and I don't do this on the podcast too often, but I just want to give Charlie a little bit of credit lately. Like, from the jump of this podcast, I've talked about this on the podcast before. This really was your idea. Yes, I had suggested to you that we should do something again in the future, like pretty... I don't know how long before that, but like within a year or two before that, but I don't really consider that. It's too far removed. This was entirely independently your idea. You know what I mean? Like, and you came to it with me, and I honestly, at the time, I'll be honest with you, I didn't say this to you because I didn't want to like discourage it. Plus, I was really in a bad mental space. I just didn't think that people would care enough about wrestling anymore. You know? I thought, and maybe I was right, but the problem is, that's not really the reason why you should. It shouldn't be how you look at whether or not you should start something like a podcast.
Yeah.
Because throughout the course of doing this show, I found that I actually fucking love AEW. Whether I did or at the beginning or not, it's kind of irrelevant because I think that proves to me that AEW can be a long lasting thing, by the way, is that it won me over without really even caring about it at the beginning, you know, like other than that it was wrestling.
That's cool. Actually very cool insight. And I'm sure there's other people that have been wondering the same thing. And I think one of the original things that we wanted to do with this was I was so tired, and this is so relevant today. It's almost more relevant today than it was 3-4 years ago, of just the fucking negative bullshit surrounding
wrestling. At the time we started this show, it was the worst it ever was. I mean, yes, it was pretty bad during the Young Bucks sagas, but it was never as bad as it was when we first started, bro. Everybody was shitting on AEW because it was just so easy.
And I was just so sick of it in wrestling. And I wanted, that's why we start our show with the favorites, you know? It's that simple. It's stuff like
that. Hold your fucking horses. I still have orders of business to get through.
No, but yeah.
I know, exactly I'm lying.
Why.
Jump straight to favorites, imagine. All right, you said it. Now we have to do it. No, imagine. It's like a fucking Pokeball. But, yeah, no, so I just wanted to credit you for the inception of this show and now this next show. I guess I should come up with a fucking idea. Otherwise, you're going to have to get a new host. Fuck, you know.
But, AI bot. Fuck you.
I could honestly be replaced by AI bot. Son makes no cap. Like, the AI bot might actually write more insightful commentary on some of these matches than me. But
hey, if this season of the Circle taught anyone anything, the AI bot's the smartest in the room. They would have won that fucking show. They had to pull it out.
Was there an AI bot on the show?
What? Yes, and it was going to win. It sucked everyone in right away. They're like, yeah, we can't have a bot win our show.
Bro, that's crazy.
Cowards!
Bots are winning fucking game shows. Jesus. All right. But yeah, no, I guess other than that stuff, you know, make sure you guys check that show out. And, you know, I'll just throw this here now because we're talking about the podcast. Please follow and or subscribe whatever podcast platforms you happen to be on both shows, you know, because we want to make sure we get, even if you're not really that interested, I promise you there'll be a show that we are watching or a book or something that we review or a movie, a TV show, something like I said, that you've either seen or been interested in. Because, again, we didn't really mention this on the show, but, I mean, I assume, Charlie, like shows like The Sopranos, I don't know if you've seen The Sopranos. I've never seen it.
But it's like
considered a legendary television show.
Four episodes. Yeah,
right? It's considered a legendary TV show. Now, we may start it and find that we don't like it, but that's still worth a review right there in and of itself. You know what I mean? Like, take 30 minutes on an episode one week instead of doing a full review. Say, oh, we tried to watch The Sopranos, and while we understand why this is important to help, you know, television history, which wasn't for us, right? That kind of vibe. So we may go back and do stuff like it could be, like I said, it's a project. It's really not even fully defined off rip because we want it to be so open to, you know, new ideas and stuff. And so you just follow and subscribe and do that for this feed as well. And, you know, make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm at Bane Duke. That's BaneDuke on Twitter. At O'Charlie with an X instead of an A. At Eat Sleep Elite on Twitter. Soon we'll get some kind of podcast feed for fantasy going at some point. Or podcast feed. I mean, Twitter feed or X.com page. Christ. You know, eventually, for that as well. And, you know, and also, I'm trying to think, is there anything, any other words of business?
I wanted to also add, news, you weren't able to watch Double or Nothing live and I had to do a solo review. So during our news, just for sake, cause I'm sure there's going to be people that want to know what you thought about certain things, especially. So we're going to get your thoughts on Double or Nothing during the news. And we did not forget about that. I wanted to make sure that. You know, because I guarantee you, I want to know what you fucking think. So I know other people do. All right. And yeah, is that everything?
I think that's everything.
All right. I got our first favorite.
Favorites.
Yeah. I got our first favorite of the new era, if you will. Right. We're a pink and black era now. Right. So if we're going to start off a new era, right, it's got to be I'm jumping to AEW Rampage this week. And I'm going with Ray Phoenix versus,
better.
I'm going with Ray Phoenix versus Isaiah Cassidy. We're getting a lot of work lately out of Isaiah Cassidy. Some of it's gone under the radar. Even by us, it's gone under the radar. It's kind of just been, you know, it's been there. But I've been like, oh, okay. I think they're trying to do a Dante Martin, Queen Aminata, Sky Blue thing with Isaiah Cassidy. And this might have been the first match that I think really opened my eyes to it. Now, we're going to take it back. Last week, he faced Roosh. I like that match. I didn't think it was unbelievable. And if we had a show, that might have been my favorite. I actually really liked that match last week.
You mess with the bull, you get the honors.
And then 2 weeks ago, we fought Orange Cassidy on Collision. And again, really good match. And it's like, wait a minute. This is 3 weeks in a row with Isaiah Cassidy.
I'm just going to ignore the fact that I just channeled fucking Roosh for a second there.
It was so beautiful, we had to just fucking roll. Isaiah Cassidy, I have never been this excited about him as a solo, but I think I'm in after the Ray Phoenix match. I've said it before with Ray Phoenix. He is so fucking good. I am a firm believer in Ray Phoenix matches. He came back. He looks great. This match was a very good main event. And look, we're getting more out of Isaiah Cassidy as a striker. I haven't seen this side of him, and yet he was able to play it so good with Ray Phoenix here. We got to talk about that finish. Not even Excalibur knew what the move was. But it was some big, it was like a double underhook driver. He's
never done before. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like.
He didn't even have the name of it. And Shivani, like, made a funny little comment on it. Like, oh, really? You not even you? Or it was might have been Matt Menard. One of them made the comment. And I was like, wow. I am going to tell you right now, this is my favorite Isaiah Cassidy solo match I've ever watched. And I know that there isn't a shitload. He's wrestled a lot on ROH, and they've been fine. They've been fine. Just fine. This, now he's officially on my radar. And I'm looking forward to what's next. Because if we're getting this run, if we get a singles run out of him, and perhaps we get Dante Martin-esque with it, someone who you know, I thought was unbelievably talented, and I loved when he got his little run. I've loved it with everyone. Queen Aminata, Sky Blue. I've loved it with all of them when they've done this. So, yeah, that was my favorite. Any thoughts on that? And then take us to yours.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of saw this a completely different way than you. I'll just, like, straight up read what I had in my notes. I don't think the position that Zay has right now is, like, super enviable. I think he's getting seen and looks great. But I think even he has to know, like, right now he's kind of dead in the water. Because, like, I'll be honest with you, like, it feels like even though he's been doing all these matches, I don't see them giving him a title shot anytime soon. And if they do, it's just going to be to put somebody over before they go onto their pay-per-view. I don't think he's truly a threat to a championship right now. I think it's kind of like how they do with Dante. They're both, because they're in tag teams, kind of stuck in this mode. Where if their partner's not being used right now or not available, they're kind of just being used as fodder, you know? And you combine it with those Ring of Honor matches that he's been having, you mentioned, and it really makes him start to look pretty bad to the audience because he doesn't really win. He does look competitive.
No, he is not seen as a winner.
And I think that's
something they need to course correct.
I think that's a problem, and I think people will... We've made the argument before the wins and losses don't matter, and that is true to a point, but it also does when all you're doing is losing because it starts to weigh on that person, I think. I mean, not just them, but the audience. The audience starts to... And you can say, well, then that means that you're building up the resentment within the audience to have them want the win. Yes, but sometimes it can get to the point where you've lost so many in a row that it starts to become difficult to believe that they're going to win. And I think Isaiah Cassidy is teetering on that point right now.
He definitely is. And they got to keep up with, because in a way, he is fodder.
Right? That's what the workhorsemen have been at for the last 2 years, and they have never done anything with them.
And they're a great example. And I'll tell you what, with Cassidy, we've seen it before, and mainly with Dante. If he starts getting that crowd reaction, they're not going to be afraid to be like, you know what? Let's give him a win and see where it goes. They gave Dante Martin a couple wins. Next thing you know, main event match against it was the opening match against Hangman Page for the AEW World Championship. Shit can happen, and it can happen fast. And I'm not sold on him as a singles wrestler.
But you know what? I will say this.
Clarify that.
This might be why I feel this way, Charlie, and I just realized this while you were saying it. At the time that Dante did that, there was a lot of injuries, and a lot of the top stars that are established now were not yet established at the level they're at. We didn't have Christian Cage. We didn't have Swerve Strickland. We had barely had Adam Page at the top. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
We hadn't had Jon Moxley go on his career-making run. We hadn't had... we didn't have Will at the time. He was just coming in for Forbidden Door. We didn't have Kenny, who I believe was probably either injured or wrestling in a program that was completely unrelated at the time. You know what I mean? Like, it was a time when there was opportunity to step up. Right now, yeah. We have a top champion in every major championship right now. So,
and I think this is something we'll get into throughout the show today, is we spread the roster very, very well this week. Theoretically, everybody got a piece of the puzzle. And it wasn't just because of the gauntlet match, but they really spread the roster well this week. And I think...
You know what?
That's why guys like Cassidy got a shot.
Win the TNT championship.
He could. There's a world where he gets over and he does, because now is the time. It's time to stop fucking around. Let's fucking do it with Cassidy. Was that was this a qualifier match? I couldn't even remember.
No, I didn't.
The first one was.
It might have been.
I'm looking through. I didn't write anything about it. If it was, I don't think it was.
For the first match. I don't think they.
Tanosuke was, for sure, which, by God, we needed that. That was another great match. Rampage 100%. Was solid, but...
Yeah, it was a solid Rampage, yeah. I would agree with that.
But,
yeah, let's go into mine.
Thinking us, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to we're going from one main event to the next. And technically we'd have Swerve comments after this match, but whatever, you know. The cat's going crazy.
A friendly kitty.
Will Ospreay took on Kyle O'Reilly for the AEW International Championship. And first thing I wrote in my notes for this, lock in for a banger.
Talk about a couple of our guys.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Definitely two of my favorites in AEW right now, for sure. Kyle's been on a great run recently. I think this is the first match where he really hit that level that I've wanted him to hit since he's been back. You know how we kind of, like, talked about in the Strong match? It was like, what the hell happened here? This match was good, but these guys could put on, like, a fucking mega banger. What the hell? You know, like...
Yeah.
And maybe that was card positioning or something. I don't know. Sometimes that happens. Or they just don't want to try and follow. So, you know, like, it... Shit happens, but this is the one where I feel like he finally hit it. They started out with a great sequence of testing the water against each other with some chain wrestling. Kyle's apparently a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, which I think I probably mentioned before, but like that's like legit impressive. I'm sorry. Like, I don't care if purple belt's like the second belt. I'm not sure that it is. I don't know what level of belt it is. It could be the third belt. It could be like right below black. I have no idea how the belt system works, but... That's still the fact that he's not just like a white belt or a no belt, you know, like most people are who do martial arts, like, is impressive. You know, like, he's been doing it for years and he's good at it, you know, so don't fuck with that guy because he could actually kill you. Yeah, and I like Garcia watching on. I like the idea that he's going to go after Will potentially next as well before the pay-per-view. That sounds like a really fun fucking match, you know what I mean? Garcia's not winning it, but it sounds awesome, you know? So basically the story here was Kyle started, he got a couple attacks on the arm and the shoulder and he started attacking that and trying to lock in arm bars and like, you know, wrist locks and blah, 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 those kinds of like arm wrenching submissions. And there was this all basically set up this one really fucking cool spot toward the end of the match where Will did the sort of, I associate it with Roman at this point, but it's not Roman's thing and he doesn't even really do it anymore, but. Here's the thing Roman used to do where he'd be like in an arm bar and he would just powerbomb somebody out. Like everybody does it now. It's like basically, it's like a fucking arm drag at this point. Like everybody does it, you know, like,
yeah.
But, that spot, it actually, for some reason, I've seen that spot 10 million times, Charlie. For this one in particular, it actually felt like it had a little extra impact to it because of the way they sold it. So that was pretty cool. Nice little arm bar break there. It's a super hard hitting match as you would expect. I mean, Kyle is going to leave it all out there in the ring. There was this really cool sequence, Charlie, where they were both like on their knees, you know, like facing each other like they do sometimes. And they both just started lightly headbutting each other. Then it got harder and harder. Then Will started throwing forearms and they started throwing them back and forth. It was fucking incredible. And at the end of the match, Will Ospreay having been victorious after a hidden blade, I believe, and then a Stormbreaker. A fucking insane looking hidden blade, by the way. One of the crazy, I thought was matches over after that spot. And then he got the, you know, the kick out and then he was like, all right, fuck it, Stormbreaker time. And Tony Schiavone didn't know the name of the move was somehow, you know, and other than that, Kyle like drags himself back to his feet barely after a hell of a match and shakes the hand of Will Ospreay. Respect earned, GTA, San Andreas music, you know, that was actually GTA 5 music, but whatever, I don't care. Yeah, great match. Any thoughts you have on this, Charlie?
Yeah, here's one of the things too. With their styles are vastly different. Kyle being that technical brawler that it works so well with when you counter it with people like Ospreay, and I thought that created a pretty good dynamic. You know, Ospreay being that super fast, but is there anyone faster than him? I mean, let's be real. I thought they did some really
good. Actually, think Kanosuke might be, and that might be the only one.
Yeah, some really great selling here. O'Reilly working the limbs. It started slow, finished fast. It's kind of, you know, your collision main event. It's a pay-per-view match. It's the way they fucking book it, right? Some of the thing that stuck out to me the most was those counters. Going from the Oz cutter into the armbar, the hidden blade out of the PK kick, and then that, like, KO's fucking knee kick out of the hidden blade that he landed.
Oh, yeah, there was one spot that I mean, yeah, there was one spot where Will was setting up for, I don't know if it was another hidden blade or some other kind of move like that, where like, he, you know, they're both in the corners and they run at each other, you know, type beat. And he just barely, it was a light, like if you actually look at the impact, it doesn't look like it hits that hard, but it's the speed with, you know, Will's running at that really does the damage. You know what I mean? So it's like, I love spots like that you can tell. It's like, oh, they fucking set that up so perfectly. And then Kyle, like, just barely tapped him, but, like, he fucking sold it like he just got hit by a freight train. Like, great shit, you know?
And I'm going to say this real quick. I'm tired of this fucking fake criticism in wrestling. This fucking fake bullshit that people keep trying to throw. Just like, why would I saw it a couple times this week. Why is Mercedes wrestling on fucking Dynamite? Hold that thought. And then, why is Will Ospreay going 20-plus minutes? Okay. People are in AEW to wrestle. And I don't know why that's so hard to understand. Why is that so hard to understand? Why is that concept so hard for people to get through their brains? They're in AEW to wrestle. This is not a carbon copy of another company. You come to this place. I'm not going to fucking recite the goddamn AMC ad, which is, wow, that really just put my brain through a loop. You come to AEW to wrestle, right? Mercedes absolutely should be wrestling on Dynamite. And Will Ospreay, if he wants to go 20 minutes and they want to go out there and have a 20-minute match the crowd loves, you do it. I'm so sick of seeing that this week because it's such a fake bullshit criticism. And I had to toss that out there. Awesome Collision main event, as always. I believe that's our 7th Collision main event. That's our favorites of the year. So,
yeah, Collision better.
And that's 3 weeks in a row of either Kyle O'Reilly or Will Ospreay picked. So, I think they're singing right now, if you know what I mean. So, let's jump into some other goodies. Real quick before we get to your thoughts on Double or Nothing, we got some injury updates. As always, right? Adam Copeland. God fucking damn it.
I hate everything.
Broke his fucking leg. We were putting this over, so it's like they hate us. And obviously I'm joking, but I mean, seriously, feel bad for Adam Copeland here. Putting on some unbelievable work, going toe-to-toe with luchadors, going fucking toe-to-toe with fantastic, unbelievable wrestlers. He looked like he was having so much fun, and now he's sidelined for probably 8 months, give or take. Fractured tibia. I don't drink, but man, pour one out for fucking Copeland, right?
You know, remember how Ryan was talking about retiring like a year and a half ago, and then he got hurt, and everyone was like, well, there's no way he's retiring now because he's got to come back and finish what he was doing, you know?
Yeah.
Because they hadn't had the match with Zack Sabre Jr. yet, right? And it might be a blessing in disguise. Because if Adam had continued on the pace that he was on this year, he might have retired at the end of this year, you know? I hate to say that selfishly, but I really, really want to watch this guy continue to wrestle again.
This might be one of those injuries he just doesn't come back from, though.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
He is 50. I mean, 50. So.
But the thing is, he really needs to win that world title, man.
This just sucks so fucking.
Because I would have said the opposite when he first came in. In fact, I think we both did. Like, he doesn't need to win the world title. If he does win anything, he'll win a small title. But now that he's held, the TNT championship for a bit and what he could do with it, I want him to face a world champion, even if he doesn't win, you know?
It just feels like we never got our real CM Punk reign,
It feels like we can get that again with him. You know who else could give us that CM Punk reign, though, if say, Copeland decides to retire? It's Bryan Danielson, but I feel like he's also decided he doesn't want the championship because of the same reasons, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
And these guys sometimes, I think, do just need to bite the bullet and just, I know it's going to piss some people off in the back, but we let Swerve have his reign. We let him get 100-plus, 200-plus days, whatever we want to do with Swerve, right? And then I think you put it on somebody like Copeland or because we haven't had a stable title reign since Adam Page, man. Everything has been chaotic, except for Jon Moxley, really. Jon Moxley is the stablest I feel like we felt, you know? MJF was just like, I feel like every month we were saying MJF was going to lose the thing, you know? Like,
and at least now we got Swerve tucking us in. We've had a great 2 months so far, and I'm loving Swerve in the interviews, by the way.
I mean, I hope he's champion for 300 days. He's doing a great job. If you could ever safely leave it on a guy, I just fear that they want to put it on other people, and so that Swerve's reign will not be as long as maybe it should be, just so that they can get it on some other people.
And yes, Swerve's stock is further than it was when he joined the company.
Wait, are there still people saying that Swerve is...
I'll say it by name. It was fucking Brian Alvarez.
Brian Alvarez is saying he's still the champion same. And he's the same value that he was to the what
when he joined the company.
What?
You are so, dude, I could not disagree with the statement more.
Okay, WWE now just winning the AEW world title, I guarantee makes his, MJF made a whole fucking thing out of this in his character. Now, again, that was Cap, it was his character, but I absolutely believe that's probably true, even if it's not like a real thing, even if it's not like I just won the world championship in baseball whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I should get a contract that's bigger now, right? Yes. There is a factor of that in it, but there's also, like, I imagine just being a more important wrestler, you can demand more money. So it is literally see, this is the interesting thing about pro wrestling. It's literally quantifiable. I've won this championship. I can demonstrably point to these ratings. Now, if that's the argument he's making, well, the ratings haven't gone up, but they're going to keep going down. Sorry. Did you see Collision's rating this week? It was bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, nobody should be expecting that to be the metric that we succeed by. If we go by all the old metrics of how fucking successful wrestling shows were done, and look, if that means AEW is not going to get renewed, then I mean, fuck, but that would suck. Finally, I mean, this podcast would be dead. You know what I mean? I have a question for you, Charlie. Real question. If AEW ended, I know we've talked about potentially ending this podcast before. Would you be interested in just reviewing New Japan? Because I honestly don't think I want to stop talking about wrestling if AEW were to fucking just fail. You know, like,
yeah, right. I mean, yeah, if AEW wins, New Japan's probably fucking chalk too.
Nah, New Japan has survived other companies failing.
Yeah, probably pretty.
Right, we'd have to have some kind of outlet for our wrestling.
Be available.
We'll just start fucking reviewing MLW. Fuck it.
No.
We had a little Forbidden Door update. Tony Storm and
JCW only.
Tony Storm and Ryan May were on video at Stardom this past week, and Tony Storm officially accepted a challenge from Mina Shirakawa. So
they will Forbidden Door then.
Yep, they'll be throwing it down at Forbidden Door.
So expect to see that happen over the next couple weeks.
You know, yeah, I'm sure Mina will be back on AEW TV.
So I actually expected her to be there this week. I kind of thought that. Did you kind of feel that during the Tony Storm segment that they were going to set up for that, and then her and Mariah just sort of left?
Yeah, they just kind of dipped, yeah.
Oh, well, I guess they're setting up for a Saraya match with Mariah, and I guess that's why. But, I mean, you could have done both.
And now we got some...
That's the match where they'll do it. They'll beat up... her and Harley will try and beat her up, and then Tony won't be doing anything, and Mina will make the save, and that'll be the flashpoint. Okay, I guess that makes sense. Never mind, I'm wrong.
And now we got a little time for some contract mania that's been running wild. That's the sound of everyone getting fucking
paid to be signed.
That's the sound of everyone getting paid. We're going to kick this off with Ricky Starks. And I think let's get a little poll update. Poll during the Double or Nothing was, do you guys want to see Orange Cassidy join Don Callis? Yes or no? It was an overwhelming no. There were some people on X that said yes. And I think it's sometimes just for chaos. But yeah, overwhelming no. That did actually end up not happening.
I mean, I can see what those couple people are thinking. Like, I mean, even me in the back of my head, as much as I hated the idea, I was like, well, I mean, it's worked out for Will. And Orange Cassidy was the first person Will wrestled in an AEW. So that doesn't mean he's on the same level, but it means he thinks of him as really, really good. So you can outshine the shitty Don Callis, but I don't think Orange Cassidy would be interested in doing that, to be honest with you.
Tony Khan was getting an interview this week. This is what's kicking off our contract mania. And they asked him about the absence of Ricky Starks. He hasn't been seen since February 7th. Tony Khan goes on to say, I really like Ricky Starks a lot. The last time we saw him, he was here in the tag team championship tournament. He and Big Bill formed a great tag team. They were the tag champions. They had a great run and culminated in the last televised match of the legendary career icon of Sting. I think it was a huge thing that Ricky and Bill, that their run culminated in such an important match. Let's throw it out there. Let's kick off with Ricky Starks as our contract here in Contract Mania. Duke, let me ask you. Do you think Ricky Starks has wrestled his last match in AEW? Is everyone overlooking this? Or is it just, he's just taking a couple weeks off? He just took a couple months off.
So up until you just read that quote from Tony Khan, I would have said he has not wrestled his last match in AEW. I actually think he has now, because Tony Khan was making very similar comments about Ethan Page like 2 months
and ago. And Andrade.
Yep. This is the style of conversation. This is the business Tony Khan that doesn't.
Didn't that read like he's already gone?
Yep. When you follow these characters and these characters, as Tony Khan's not a real person. When you follow people like Tony Khan, you have been following fucking managers and GMs of the fucking football and baseball and all these teams that you are fans of for years. So you know the kind of doublespeak they use or the lack thereof. When they start to get very close to the chest, like he is being in this. Now, Tony Khan's very, very close to the, he's gotten better about it over the last couple of years, but very much at the beginning, he would not even reveal anything. He wouldn't even confirm that shit was storyline sometimes, until shit hit the fan with MJF and he almost fucking got on a plane and left into a pay-per-view, a signing or whatever, I don't know, man, I would really, really be shocked if Ricky Starks somehow didn't resign, to be honest.
If we get a Ricky Starks match on Collision next week, I'm going to be shocked.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think we're going to see him anymore. I think he hasn't been seen in months. I mean, AEW doesn't even generally really do that. So you would presume that's a choice by him. You know what I mean?
And I've even said multiple times on the show, I'm like, a break's a good thing. Sometimes a break is perfectly fine in wrestling. After those comments.
Oh, yeah. If you come back after that, there's no way you're going to go out
there. Here's another comment from the same interview.
Okay.
I think Ricky Starks is tremendous. I'd love to get him involved and back in AEW anytime. He's been a huge part of what we've done here for about four out of the 5 years.
Yeah, I mean.
Brother, you're the booker.
Yeah, I mean.
You booked the show.
No. I mean, yeah, that's not a good sign. No, I think Ricky. I think a lot of people months ago assumed that Ricky was already on the fast track to leaving because.
Yeah, I wonder if Tony Khan so well.
Do you think Tony Khan hears that stuff and then internalizes it and then books based on it? I really hope that's not the case.
I don't think he does. No, maybe in that first year he might have heard shit like that, but I believe he's pretty headstrong now with his booking and his philosophies. And I do agree. I mean, look, if we're being straight, flat out honest. Ricky Starks fits WWE so well that if he jumped, I wouldn't care. Just don't send him through the NXT gauntlet. He doesn't need that shit. You can make the case Ethan Page needed that. And I'm totally – have we done the show since that happened? Ethan Page is in NXT now. I don't think we've done the show since that happened.
If we haven't, then yeah.
And again, talk about someone that fits that style. Look, he can talk incredibly well. Ethan Page was never, ever going to be more than that fucking mid-carder right now. Why would we not want what's best for him? And he can go raise his stock there. Give him a shot. There was his ceiling was fucking, we knew where it was when he was fighting in programs for the TV title on Ring of Honor. We knew where his ceiling was. And that's just unfortunately fucking true. Where's Ricky Stark's ceiling? It feels a lot lower than it did in December of 2022. Does it not?
I mean, this guy was tag champion last year. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It was a bad title run. Mm-hmm. And I think that fucking crushed something. And I don't know what it was.
No, I think the problem was, you know what happened? And I'm speculating here. I'm doing the thing that we don't do and we get mad at people for doing. But because of what happened with CM Punk and the Real World title and him losing that championship because they lost CM Punk, I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back, proverbially.
I mean, Punk put this guy over more than anyone in the company. He let him. Mm-hmm. Ricky Starks beat him 3 times.
Yep.
3.
He was going to put him over for that title, 100%. Yeah. And there was going to be a match between MJF and Ricky to run it back, the match that they had for the title, for both titles. I forget what pay-per-view we were saying that was probably going to happen at. But we had it all mapped out.
It almost feels like Wardlow, where his stock's completely fallen.
I feel like you could regain with Wardlow. 100%. You could just put him on another run. I mean, they did it with him recently. We thought he was going to regain. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just, and he went after
done it three times now. They can always do that with him. I think Killswitch is similar. It's because they're big, meaty men. Ricky Starks, you have to keep strong because he's, a guy was beating Bryan Danielson. I mean, at some point you actually have to pull the trigger on some of these guys. Otherwise, you're going to lose them. I've said that so many times in the first couple of years of this podcast when we were pushing these guys and then forgetting about them.
I think Ricky Starks is immediately a title contender in WWE.
Like a world? I don't know.
No. I think he walks in and you can have him challenge Logan Paul. You can have him challenge whoever's the Intercontinental title champion. Like, you can do that. And I his stock is so much higher there. And look, we're an AEW show. It's sometimes...
I mean, there were so many times we thought Ricky was going to win a singles title, man. And he just never did.
And it never happened. And you know what? He's going to walk over there with that style and that charisma, and he can fucking talk with the best.
Oh, and they can get him some music and a video package to go with his gimmick. Yep. I mean, you know those videos he likes to do before that they clearly wouldn't let him do all the time? I don't think he's going to do those all the time. I think he's still going to say those for pay-per-views and stuff like he did. But I think if his first video will be a video like that, and then they might get a couple because WWE likes to do that. But he may stick to his guns and be like, no, I just want to do this to introduce myself. Then we'll come out on the show. Then we'll do our weekly segments. And then we'll get to a pay-per-view where we do that. Yeah. If we lose Ricky, that's a tough blow. Because Ricky's a very...
That'll suck. But
He's very much an AEW guy.
He is. But
he might be happier being with his buddy Cody. So I don't, you know, I don't know. Cody's world champion right now. It'd be a good time for him to go over, you know?
Yep. And that's another one of our contract mania. You know, Ricky Starks, we just got a bunch of question marks. And go ahead and vote in that poll. Ricky Starks, has he wrestled his last match in AEW? It's on Spotify. We'll put it on X tomorrow. I think it's fun to get both sides.
By the way, side news. I know I'm delaying, but this is technically news. It's not wrestling news. I found out yesterday. Apparently, they're building a base on the moon.
Okay, that's fucking
the U.S. cool. government, because China's going to build one there. So they're apparently going to build a base on the moon. NASA.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Three body problem is really happening. Here we go. It's time to put people on the fucking moon.
Taco. Nice.
Fucking A. Matt Hardy thinks Jeff Hardy's AEW contract expires mid-June or so.
I mean, I think I said this right after Matt left, when there was rumors about Matt leaving. If Matt goes and Jeff's not on TV anytime soon, and the problem was at the time Jeff had just wrestled like twice. Did he get hurt? I think Jeff got hurt, right?
Sammy Guevara.
Yep. You know, he got hurt, and then Sammy Guevara got almost fired. No, jokes aside, but like, you know, like, no, I mean, like, genuinely,
Matt
Hardy. I said then, like, they're wanting to wrestle a tag team run as champions. They never got the opportunity in AEW. They were right there about to get it right before fucking Jeff got arrested. You know what I mean? So Jeff basically chalked their AEW run. That's all you can really say. You know what I mean? They'll go back to WWE, win those titles again. Who's the champions right now? Is it Uso still?
Matt Hardy walked away from AEW and is now in the main event of the next TNA pay-per-view going for the world championship. These guys, they know that their stock is still so high elsewhere. Like,
imagine if Jeff Hardy went to New Japan and wrestled like Gabe Kidd or something. He won't, but imagine if he did. Yeah, it'd be crazy.
Cool. Dude, you totally just reminded me. I wanted to talk about the Dominion card.
Ooh, I'll
pull that up when you're doing your stuff.
100%.
Last contracts. Okay. We're going to do two more WWE
contracts
and then three AEW. Becky Lynch, she is not re-signed. However, I think it's WWE is so likely for her.
I mean, she may retire. She's done enough, man. Like,
I definitely think she wants to take a break. If she jumps ship, good God, that'd be fucking huge.
That would be a shot across the bow. And I think that would imply we're getting Tyler Black as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that'd be nuts.
And his contract is also coming up, right?
And then he resigns
a different year than her, right? Am I crazy? I thought they resigned in the same year, though, one year.
There's like, a lot of people that are up this year. Another one that this month, Ricochet.
Will Ospreay. I could see actually making the jump.
Will Ospreay started tweeting about it. He wants that match again.
Yo, if Ricochet, that would be a cool one. It wouldn't be that big of a shot because I think everyone's kind of assumed that when his contract was up that he would go. But like,
if we're talking, look,
that would be fun. The matches he could have with, I mean, that's what I've been our dream match for Dante for fucking 4 years now. You know what I mean?
He's one like, of them. And I would love for him to just go out there and prove again.
Him like, versus Matt Sydal, bro. Can you imagine? Him versus Johnny TV. Him
versus tag partners in New Japan.
Him versus Rey fucking Phoenix.
Yeah.
Or Penta. Or, yeah. Oh my God, if they could somehow, all right, they might have to fire CMLL out of a cannon, but if they could somehow get him versus El Hijo del Vikingo, dude.
Please.
I wish they hadn't made a deal with WWE so bad. God damn it.
This is the most important
WWE, you got that deal with AAA right now. You gotta fucking, or not AAA, it's AAA. You gotta get El Hijo del Vikingo to get that Ricochet match if he's about to not re-sign before they leave. There's no way you don't do that, because otherwise that match may never happen, you know what I mean?
and the most important contract of all of them. Chad Gable. His contract is up on Friday. Chad Gable, I've said it before, I'll say it again. He is top three in WWE.
Isn't KO's contract up as well? Am I tweaking?
He might have just re-signed.
Oh, fuck him then.
But Chad Gable is top three.
Good Federation shitling.
So fucking good. There is not one person that I would have more to have a dream run in New Japan Pro Wrestling than Chad Gable. I would love him to have a dream run in New Japan. I'd love him. Obviously, I'd love him in AEW. He's one of my favorite wrestlers literally on the planet.
I honestly don't know where he'd fit in the AEW card, though. New Japan feels like a better fit for him.
How great would a G1 run be with Chad Gable?
My God.
He would show the world how great he is.
Imagine him versus Jeff Cobb, bro.
And then there were three people from AEW released. Jake Hager, Arn Anderson.
Jeff Cobb would throw him into the third row. It would be incredible.
Jake Hager, Anderson, or Henry, any of them do anything for you? I mean, Henry's role was kind of gone, so like that would have been, it's time for the main event. And then I've never been a big Jake Hager fan. And look, Arn, you know, we hadn't seen him in a while, so.
You know, I mean, Mark Henry did have a backstage role, so I'm sure they're going to have to find somebody to do that. But I mean, you know, losing somebody like Arn, I feel like probably hurts somebody like Tony more than anything, just because of the lack of experience, you know, that Tony, I mean, Tony has 4 years of experience almost now, but like before that, you know,
you want that veteran leadership backstage.
Yes.
100%.
And you know, you still got guys like Jake the Snake occasionally. And, I'm trying to think there's other guys too, you know, Billy Gunn's back there all the time.
Well, and, like, this is why we want to have guys like Danielson, like Copeland, you know,
you hope they stick around after their time in AEW is done. Right. Because, I mean, Brian's already basically said he's going to. I think Brian doesn't want to say he's going to be, but he's going to be an executive in AEW when he's done, for 1,000%. Like, even if he's just doing talent relations a la Triple H for years before he was, you know, the actual CEO.
The CEO! Speaking of the CEO.
Actually, Nick Khan's the CEO. What am I talking about?
But let's get a little bit of your thoughts on Double or Nothing here.
Yeah.
I could toss a couple things at you. Do you want to, or you could just play back. But first, let's just get your overall thoughts. What did you think of the pay-per-view itself?
I mean, I really enjoyed it. I thought the match quality was insane. I thought, while some stuff didn't deliver like I wanted it to, other stuff that I was like not expecting to be really fun was actually really fun. Like, I'll give you an example. Like the FTW triple threat on paper, I'd have been like, ugh, whatever. Yep. It's actually pretty fun. Even the little dice gimmick. Jericho always finds a fun little gimmick.
That dice gimmick worked for me. It 100% worked
Jericho, for me. Again, I hate it, but it's fucking, he's making it work. You know what I mean? Like, dude is fucking, there's a reason why the guy's been a champion in every company.
I am the learning tree.
Literally. I thought this was the best that Konosuke had looked, even though it was only like a 10-minute eliminator. I thought this was the best he'd looked in, obviously, I still think he should have won it. I thought that was the best.
He dominated Moxley.
Yes. I thought it was the best he'd looked in forever. Oh my God, the brood shit in the Adam Copeland match. Again, it sucks that he's hurt, but what a fucking incredible match. Would you say that's probably Malakai's best singles pay-per-view match since he had a match with Cody when we first started reviewing this?
Yeah, it's either that or I'll cheat and say the four-way at the first Forbidden Door.
That's fair, but you know.
Because that technically was singles, but one-on-one, yeah, this is one to remember.
Oh yeah, 100%.
It feels nice to get him back in the fold.
I wrote Chronicle of Nardzia. but yeah, no, Willow and Mercedes. Again, no one ever expected Willow to hold that thing for long. Her title reign was going to be fun, not super long, you know what I mean? Mercedes, fucking finally crowned champion. God, our champions are just so goddamn beautiful right now. Swerve and Christian Cage, one of the matches of the year already, you know what I mean? Tony and Serena delivered. The Bang Bang Gang. That's okay. Best trios match we've had in like 8 fucking months, dude. Oh my God.
How nice is it to have these titles back to where they fucking should be?
100%. And the way they're setting them up to go in the future too. We're in good hands. The Bang Bang Gang. I told you all, when the Bang Bang Gang win these trios championships and combine them into one, it's gonna be beautiful. And look at where we're fucking at. Jim White is back. All right. Adam Cole and MJF both back. Love it. I mean, Adam Cole's not really back yet, nor really technically is MJF until we have a date for when he's actually coming back.
I think MJF right? had a lot to say, too.
He did.
Suck a gold bag of donkey dicks.
Yeah, he did have some stuff to say. Good stuff. And then I guess the only thing I have left really to talk about, unless I missed something. Oh, Orange and Trent. That was another one that delivered more than I expected. Orange and Trent. Again, like going into that, I was like, fuck this match. It's going to be lame. And they did a fucking great job on the pay-per-view, you know?
Okay. I actually didn't like that match at all.
I thought they delivered, bro. I thought they had a good match.
One of the things I was so upset about in that match, and looking back, it's a little funny. It's just maybe I was tired. I thought Orange Cassidy was giving more passion to those fucking international title matches that no one cared about, especially.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. But it felt
like, where's his passion against Trent? Why don't we have this here? But hey, I'm glad it worked for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was passionless, but I mean, it was Orange Cassidy, so everything was awesome. I don't know.
Yeah. Anarchy in the Arena.
Yeah. Jesus fucking Christ.
Lit on fire, buses getting thrown at
them. No, Jack Perry being set on fire is probably the highlight.
How nuts, dude, to hang in Darby Allin and then super kicking him with tacks.
The tack rainmaker and the tack super, the tacked up pumps. Fuck, you know, like, yeah, all, a really ridiculous match, like, absolutely insane. I think this kind of does, though. I will say this is going to be a bit of an indictment on the match. And maybe this will imply that they need to get a little bit more wacky with it. But I think this one, to me, says maybe we try something different with this next year. Because It just felt, I don't know, I didn't feel like, I felt the sense of chaos. I think
with the final spot, countdown playing is an all-time vibes moment.
Correct.
All-time.
100%. I wish it had gone the whole match. That would have been incredible.
Might have been $1 billion.
You know, they
fucking ball.
Tony Khan can afford it, Dan. He has the money. But no, I mean, like, fucking crazy. Yeah, just like everything in this match was crazy. But I don't know. There was parts of it that I felt like, okay, we're kind of going through the motions here. You know what? It might have been a little rushed. It may have been. I'm not sure if it was because of who was, like, if certain people not being involved this year or something. But like, it did feel like at points that they were. Not necessarily at the places they needed to be at, but it felt like the camera was cutting right as something was about to happen, as opposed to naturally cutting around trying to. Because the first one to me, the first true Anarchy in the Arena that we did, you know what I mean? Like, it felt like the camera was just cutting around and they didn't even know what the fuck was happening and there was chaos everywhere, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Whereas this one, it felt like we were cutting the stuff right as it was about to happen, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know, like, but either way. Really enjoyed the show overall. Like, I know how you said to do my overall thoughts, and like I just went to everything on the show, but no, like that's kind of was my overall thoughts, really.
I definitely tell you, I think you were missed on the post show, but I did try. I tried my best. I'll tell you that much. I think the last little bit of news we got here, and then we'll jump into our Ring of Honor, Dynamite, Rampage, Collision. We're back to normal this week. No Collision in third place. Let's talk about this Dominion card.
Dominion Bang.
So Dominion is June 9th this year,
69, dude.
Our full card includes, we have Tetsuya Naito versus Callum Newman. So Newman getting a big pay-per-view spot in the United Empire. TMDK, Kosei Fujita, Robbie Eagles, and Zack Sabre Jr. versus Clark Connors, Drilla Maloney, and LJ Cleary. I was just looking up who LJ Cleary is. He's been wrestling in NOAH. So this is pretty cool for him. He was he just went on like all the tours in NOAH this year. So
book Gabe Kidd versus Anthony Green, you cowards.
Provisional King of Pro Wrestling 2024 Championship Storm Catch Rules match. Great O'Conn versus Yuya Uemura. The never open weight six man tag team championship. The champions, Bolton Oleg, Toru Yano, and Hiroshi Tanahashi
versus fucking meat team. Holy
versus
shit.
Bushi, Hiromu Takahashi, and Yoda Tsuji. Bolton fucking Oleg. I didn't realize he won the title.
Oh, but Tanahashi literally being like, "No, I'm going to be a champion while I'm the Booker." 100%.
The New Japan World Television Championship champion Jeff Cobb versus Tomohiro Ishii.
Well, yo, Ishii could win that, honestly.
IWGP Tag Team Championships and New Japan Strong Openweight Tag Team Championships Tornado Elimination 4-Way Match. TMDK, Shane Hayes to Mikey Nichols versus Bishamon versus Gorillas of Destiny, El Phantasmo and Haikuleo versus Bullet Club, Chase Owens and Kenta. So we're combining the titles again. Let's.
Yeah, that match is gonna be a fucking shit show. I'm sorry. It's good. It's a good match, I'm sure, but like it's gonna be chaotic. It's it, New Japan with those kinds of like insanity tag matches either are bangers or absolute dog shit.
Never open weight championship. Shingo Takagi versus Hanare. Last year, their KOPW championship match was fucking incredible. I think that match.
Was that the match where Hanare literally was bleeding from his fucking skull? Like,
yes,
and almost died. Like
the IWGP, yeah, it was World Heavyweight Championship, a lumberjack death match. John Moxley versus Evil. And the best,
yeah, I mean,
Junior,
you know,
2024 tournament finals, Taiji Ishimori versus El Desperado. So that's
so Ishimori's winning the tournament again. Great.
Yeah, probably. So that's it for that. Other than that, let's get into the second part of our show where we go give you guys some results.
Some
of our thoughts on these stories. You know the vibes here.
Probably.
Hey. Let's kick it off with Ring of Doom, where Athena had the show, right? So
for the first time in what feels like a century, and I can barely breathe. No, sorry. Sorry. Song lyrics. All right, get rid of my Double or Nothing notes.
Oh, boink.
And post Double or Nothing. It's growing to the Ring of Doom. Where the fuck is Ring of Doom? I definitely took notes on it. Here it is. Here it is. Oh, we opened up with Athena, and she took on Viva Vann in a Ring of Honor Women's World Championship Proving Ground match. She beat her ass. She made Vita check herself, and Vita's super experienced. Apparently, though, Charlie, and this is now, we've reached territory where I think we have to start having the conversation, much like we did with Samoa Joe's passing of Jay Lethal's title reign, right? I think we have to start having the conversation. Does she pass Samoa Joe for longest champion?
I don't see a world where I don't know where she loses it anytime soon, right?
Kind of, so, right? It's like who's there besides Billy, who's currently a champion, and we're really going to put two championships on Billy? Like, no, you know what I mean? Like, that just reshrinks the women's division again for no reason. Like, you know, so you know, we got to establish some stars, but I'm you know how it is. Like, it's one of those things where I, you know, an incredible title reign, ridiculous length, probably the longest title reign we're going to have anytime soon in AEW or Ring of Honor. But 530 days is nuts. But we have to start, I think we do genuinely have to start having that conversation of, does she become the longest reigning champion just in Ring of Honor history? And if she does, what does that mean for wrestling? You know, does that mean that now we have to start having this conversation of, should Roman have lost the title before the, was it was Bianca had like a similarly long title reign at the same time? Like,
yeah, they, she was like near 500.
Now to be fair, I think is Rhea still champion or did she lose it?
Injured. She,
she was at like 200 or 300 days, right? When she lost.
Yeah, she held it for a whole year.
So I think that was the plan, was to have another similar title reign with her. And I think there's an appetite for that. I mean, fucking Athena's at 530 right now. Just roll it. Just have her go like 1,000 days or something, and then just have her drop it to somebody who you don't expect her to. And, you know, that there's opportunity there. And I don't see anybody else that's going to step up anytime soon. We had a little Forbidden Door hype video. The Undisputed Kingdom took on Nick Camarado and Jacoby Watts in a tag team championship proving ground match. Yawn. Serpentico took on Brady Roberts. Double yawn. Marina Shafir had a really great promo backstage. I'm actually really excited to see what she does when she comes back, because she's been winning me over slowly lately on these backstage things. Zack Knight, oh, this is great. I put this in my head. Zack Knight rips the beating heart out of a man's chest and feeds it to his ravenous mutts.
Oh, shit.
No, the dogs. The ravenous mutts.
That's just awesome, dude.
He fed him to his dogs.
Sebastian Wolf.
Here was a really fun match that I actually don't know if you caught this week, Charlie, because sometimes I don't ever like ask if you watch Ring of Honor, because it doesn't really matter, because I'm the one that reviews it anyway. But Big Shot Lee Johnson took on Aaron Solo in Action Andretti in a triple threat.
Yeah.
And what a great little random match. This is like Tony Khan's booking genius. He's like, fuck it, I just want a triple threat on Ring of Honor this week. Action, you busy. Shoddy, you're going to win. Aaron Solo, you're going to take the pin. I think Aaron Solo took the pin anyway. You know what I mean?
No matter what, the people that are at that live show, they'll see this match and it will resonate with them. Oh, yes. Shit. I need to recognize. I need to remember who this guy is. It's the way it works.
Yep. The Pereira athletes are facing the Bollywood boys, Harv and Gurv. I didn't really write much down about
this. So great to see them all the time.
100%.
I had some faith.
Yep, it did. And Premier athletes looking okay. I think a little shaky, but it's because they haven't really been doing a lot, you know. Like, and also I think this Smart Mark Sterling faction is kind of always on a little bit of like unsure footing at certain points. Well, you know, it is what it is. And our main event was Top Flight versus Workhorseman. And God damn it, Charlie, I've seen this match so many fucking times I want to puke. All right, take us through fucking Dynamite.
No Mark Briscoe again.
They just did it like the eighth week in a row or something.
If he's lying, tell us.
Could I have been more wrong with my Mark Briscoe take? That's all right. All right, we're live from Dynamite with the Kia Forum. I always like being at this venue. Although the summer of Punk was ended here after a dive into the stands.
I feel like
that escalated into...
Summer of Punk started and ended at the top of that ramp.
The vibes from... He just announced Tanahashi's opponent. That was some of the most incredible vibes I've ever remembered.
When Tanahashi's music hit while he was standing in the ring, we were like, who you got? I was so fucking hyped, man. Look at where we are now. Pissant Punk.
Mercedes Moné, TBS title celebration.
CEO!
This was good. We set up that Sky Blue was the one that attacked her, and Sky Blue, you know, tried to fight her again, and they set up a match for later. The Scapegoat and the Elite arrive. Excuse me. We jump into a match. AEW World Champion Swerve Strickland takes on and defeats Killswitch. You guys know the vibe? The World Champion wrestles here, baby. You tune into AEW, you can expect to see a World Champion wrestling. Sorry. Did I get in debates with people on Twitter?
Why is he getting into matches that are 20 minutes?
I may have gotten in debates on Twitter this week. It's okay. I let him get to me a little bit, but fuck it. Here we ball. Killswitch looked cool. Swerve looked great. Swerve's an incredible champion. He hit the house call, put him away. God, that's such a beautiful move. He credited the old Aiden English for coming up with the name of that on an indie show. So, Matthew, I blank on his last name, but if I say Aiden English, everyone knows who I mean. Nana gave scissors to Swerve, and he cut some hair from Killswitch. And, yeah, Killswitch, Judas, whatever you want to call him, Austin. Whenever he gets these opportunities, he takes advantage of it. I will always root for Killswitch. He's one of my favorite guys, just personally. So he's awesome. Even if he gets tuna stuck in his beard, that's besides the point. Tony Schiavone announces Tony Khan has made it official. Mercedes versus Sky Blue.
Why is she wrestling?
John Moxley's backstage puts over the experience of Rocky. Dumb idea to take this match with a bad arm. That's what champions do. So they show up instead of pissing it away at Disneyland. Runs down his schedule and yada, yada, yada. TV time with Chris Jericho.
I am the learning tree.
How? First of all, he introduced his new bounty hunter, Brian Keith. Beautiful stuff.
That's the bad apple, Brian Keith.
That
I actually kind of dig that gimmick a little bit.
The tree was so goofy.
Well, that bad apple doesn't far too tall too far from the bad tree, bro. Jericho is on fucking PCP right now or something. What is this man? He's on like heroin. I don't know what the fuck, but he is on Mars. My God.
Ever since Trump got off.
No.
Jericho started losing it, man. He asked Brian why'd he get sucked into the Jericho vortex?
And Jericho can see him that good suck.
Hey, yo, Brian Keith got a live mic. I thought he looked pretty good. I hate that I'm so into this, but I'm not so into it.
No, I don't hate it at all. I was the biggest fucking Large William fucking supporter during his run with Ricky. I was the only person that liked that run.
I just loved
both guys in it. I was like, fuck it, they're champions, we ball. You know what I mean? Like,
yo, when he said bad apple, the crowd just like, yeah,
I know. How he keeps coming. You know what? I don't think that was planned, bro.
The bad apple.
I think he should literally on the fly back because I feel like it's like, and then like Brian, you can even see in the moment, Brian Keith's like, fuck, that's good. You know what I mean? Like,
Damn it, like.
Hulk's music hits. He storms to the ring, lays out some security guards. Joe's music plays. Joe is standing ringside, and we get a little
small. War Joe 2.0. War Joe 2.0. Actually, I think it'll work this time, though.
I could see that working there.
Because they're similar enough. Like,
the passion that they had for their world title match.
It's much more like, I feel like, much more like Killswitch. They're both mega super athletes. You know what I mean? Freak athletes. Where the other two are, too. But Joe and... It's like a very, they similarly carry themselves, Joe. And the way they operate, they're both squashing people, even though they're regular size dudes. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Joe might even be a little bit bigger. And if it leads, and I actually think if it, like War Joe, does lead to another match eventually, that match will be incredible too, especially if it's for a championship, you know? Like,
we get a video package for Stephanie Vaquer. Excalibur puts over as the CMLL Women's Champion, New Japan Strong Women's Champion. She is fucking awesome. This is a really good sign for CMLL in the Forbidden Door.
Have we watched her before? Yes. Am I tweaking?
Yes. She wrestled on one of the Mercedes New Japan shows that we watched.
That's right, because we weren't going to watch the other women's matches, but then, like, after the first Mercedes match, we ended up watching the other one that night.
She wrestled Mercedes, or she wrestled Willow. She wrestled one of them. It was really good.
It was, yeah, because that was, yeah.
She's looking on her craft even more. Jon Moxley defeats Rocky Romero in the IWGP World Title Eliminator. Said it last week. These Rocky matches aren't moving the needle for me. It was... I don't know.
It's kind of like how this is like the version of Isaiah Cassidy for me. I think Rocky just fucking is a reliable hand you can put in just against everybody, and he's great. And he's just having a blast wrestling these matches while he's also like probably working his ass off doing like mega overtime for Forbidden Door, you know, like.
Yeah, one arm Moxley just, jeez, this was there. I did not like it at all, actually. Renee Paquette approaches Joe and Hook, said they learned their first lesson tonight. They do not exist on others' time. Truly dangerous men are on their own time. I'm cool if that
works.
Is
that their tag name? I'm down.
Yeah, I'd be down. We end up getting
Don Callis. Truly dangerous men? Come on.
Don Callis bringing out Orange Cassidy. He already filled it out for him, the new contract. Cassidy rips it in half. And out walks Stokely Hathaway and Chris Statlander. Nothing about Cassidy he likes. He's just Willow Nightingale. On behalf of her best friend, he happily accepts Callis' offer to join the family. Trent Barretta beats the shit out of Orange Cassidy. This can work for Trent. Much better than it could have worked for Cassidy. Trent kind of fits with the ideologies of what the Don Callis family
is. Yeah, but the problem is Trent is not going to outshine the Don Callis family. Like,
No. The Don Callis family could maybe elevate him, which is what we need. We need this family to start elevating people. It needs to be really good. So I'm optimistic for Trent in the Don Callis family compared to just a solo run on his own. Although I wouldn't have minded a renegade guy just trying to beat the fuck out of people. Renee is with Matt and Daniel Garcia. He's tired of being spun in the same place, spinning wheels. It's time to roll with the red carpet, climb the ranks, and take the international title. Respectfully, he plans to make Will Ospreay's bags a little tighter when he travels to the U.S. Sometimes I just like a little bit of continuity. Just why is Daniel Garcia having to climb the rankings, but Kyle O'Reilly isn't? That's a nitpick, I will admit, but I just like a little continuity there. Kyle just lost to Copeland, and now he's going at, yeah, besides the point, but I'm cool if we get some Danny singles matches. You know me. Mercedes defeats Sky Blue to retain the TBS title. This is some really good back and forth. I actually really like this match. I almost chose it as my favorite.
I mean, to be fair with rankings, like the way you kind of have to look at it, I mean, I know AW usually has the policy of, oh, you lost, back the line, right? But I think, like, if somebody drops a championship, like, in actual boxing, I don't think the previous contender would just be also thrown out. I don't think. Generally, that's because you still have a ton of wins recently, right? That led up to that fucking fight. So one loss really wouldn't tank your record. That if we're going with the realism side of it, which we're not, because AEW will then make Wardlow your number one contender when they want him to be, you know, like, so it's like, you know, like where Wardlow will not be getting booked when he's been the number one contender for 6 months, you know, like, you know,
yeah, it's just like, little things because Danny's been winning a lot lately and just. I don't know. It didn't.
But do you remember what they said a while ago, though? Like, there is a bit of a philosophy to the weighting of certain wins. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
A win against
yeah.
Serpentico isn't the same as a win against Adam Copeland. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Mercedes countered the Code Blue, hit a moneymaker for the win. Post-match, Stephanie Vaquer came out carrying the New Japan Strong title. So I'm sure that's a match we're getting set up. So Mercedes versus Stephanie Vaquer and Tony Storm versus Mina Shirakawa. That's fucking beautiful. That's brilliant. That's genuinely brilliant. So there's a little Stokely and Chris Statlander thing with Renee here. I don't know what the angle is here, but it was very okay. I don't know how well.
I know I'm jumping back. I didn't mention this, but I thought Daniel cut a great promo, by the way, in that segment. I thought he came across really well. I think
he has a cadence that no one else has, mm-hmm. and I really don't know how to describe it. But
he figured that out, because remember when he first came in, that was the thing. We had 2.0 to talk for him because he couldn't talk, and then he just started. I think it was during the Blackpool Combat Club, like teases. I think is when he really started to have to be able to cut them, because Brian would like just call him out and be like, "Kid, say something," basically. You know what I mean? Like, and. But Stoke and the Stoke stuff. Do you think Stoke and Stat will work as a dude?
I just don't know how they're gonna work as a heel, man. I really don't.
Even Stoke's jokes still get pops. Like, he's too much of a babyface because everyone loves his fucking corny ass. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a little corny little shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he is. You know what I mean? Like, and it's hard not to fucking. It's kind of, you know, I don't know, but I also think Stat's kind of like, is she like trapped in that perma babyface mode? Do you think she can never get to that?
She's unbelievably likable. Look, Bailey was too, and look, Bailey became an incredible heel. So there's
always
an opportunity.
You know what happened for Bailey though, I don't think Stat needs to get injured again because that was a long injury for Bailey. But I think if she had some time off. Maybe. And I hate saying that when she's so hot right
now. No, she's had too much time off, though. I mean, she's already had two fucking
ACLs. No, it's like, but like, I feel like if you just, like, I don't know, put her in a program that's not the main program for a bit, like, and then have her go after something, I feel like, I don't know, like, that's what it took. Was like, or maybe it'll just settle over time.
It's over his heels.
Okay.
It's possible. It's more than possible, but I am not.
Sorry, you just triggered these thoughts in my brain while I was sitting there. I know that's why I was so silent, because I started like, I was like pontificating. I was like, "Ooh, interesting." I never.
So the Elite came out to celebrate Double or Nothing, and they were going to address the TNT title situation. CM Punk chats start hitting a little bit, and Okada just grabs the mic, and we got to play it again for the people.
Shut up, bitches.
Perry, Jack Perry was getting the definition of nuclear heat. He is getting some great heat. The Elite run this shit. Tony Khan and Kenny Omega picked their dream team. They still got their ass whooped. They put over their new Reebok shoes. There's a big screen.
I wonder how expensive those. Like, I might have to buy those shoes.
$300, dude. They're probably brutal. I bet they were.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Shoe collectors, they spend a lot of money. There's a big screen that shows a Lamborghini pulling up to the arena with a
radio. You say they spend a few buckaroonies?
Oh, a few buckaroonies. Okada starts fake crying. This can't be real, you know?
All right, my question is this. Do you think Tony Khan legit bought the dude a fucking car?
I don't know. I
can actually see him buying him a legit buying him a car. That could just be Okada's car. I think, let's be honest, it probably was just Okada's car, right? And they just pretended like we were giving it to him as a gift, but like, because it had the Rainmaker plates on it already, which that would have been something they would have done anyway. But
Okada is such a shit.
He infamously almost drove around Japan in like a really, really expensive car, I want to say, because he was already making like WWE money in New Japan, you know what I mean? Like, from what I understand, like, he was making more than anybody on that roster, like, you know, like.
And then, no kidding. And then as soon as they take the mic away, it's a straight face. Okada is so funny.
That was great. Okada's just fucking so legendary.
He's so
he knows, man. He knows, and he knows that we know, and he knows that we're all fans of his, but we're also gonna fucking boo the shit out of him whenever he does, you know, dastardly shit. And dude is like, he was mostly a babyface that I ever saw, but he had heel runs while he was champion over there for like 10 years. You know what I mean? Like, so like, he's fucking, he knows how to do everything. I mean, dude, it feels like, you know what it feels like? And this is going to get me some fucking, I'm sure, flack from Fed fans if they happen to listen to this. But it feels to me like NXT and New Japan, and maybe to an extent, like before Ring of Honor was AEW, or like it feels like these other companies now are kind of like the minor leagues prepping these major stars to come to a company like AEW or WWE, and then they go out on TV and they're ready to go. You know what I mean? Like, I think that feels like what it's like.
New Japan desperately needs to break that because it does feel like that. And it's because all their biggest champions have left. But it does feel like that. New Japan desperately needs to break that stigma, though. And I don't know how they do it.
You do it through Drilla Maloney.
Yeah. Adam Copeland, he told him to break a leg. GG's. And they were going to crown Jack Perry TNT champion. I actually would have been okay with this.
Hundo P, that would have been incredible. Can you imagine the matches he would have been having to try and keep that pin throw? Oh, my God.
Christopher Daniels came out. I had to do a double take. I thought it was Adam Pearce.
Yo.
He said there's a new title.
You know, pause. I actually, so the interim EVP thing, I actually, Christopher Daniels in like the Adam Pearce type beat fucking, you know, suit. If this is a tease up for the possibility of him being like sort of a semi-permanent GM figure, obviously Tony Khan's really the GM, right, on TV, but you know, we don't really see Tony Khan. If we're going to physically see Christopher Daniels and he's going to deliver us matches sometimes when there's like shenanigans, I would be okay with that because I respect Christopher Daniels. We know he's not really going to be wrestling a ton anymore. I think he'd be okay with that. He's already fine in the role. He's talent relations anyway, right? IRL. So like,
yep,
that would make sense if he was actually going to play that character on TV because he's literally doing that anyway. So fuck it. We ball.
Fuck it. We ball. The Elite were upset. There's going to be a qualifying match for a TNT Championship, a ladder match at Forbidden Door. That's going to be awesome. They claim that Daddy Ass came out to even the odds. We'll see where that goes.
Under or over on 7 broken legs in the TNT ladder match?
Over. Swerve is backstage with Prince. Nana said they should call him Stevie Wonder because as no one see him in the ring. Said he took down another legend at Double or Nothing and also returned the favor to Killswitch earlier tonight. Looking for some competitors for the upcoming main event, and there are some surprises as he's wondering who will be next to step foot in Swerve's house. We get an MJF returns next week, and we're going backstage to Roosh, who applauds MJF's return to AEW, but he's not a star here. But he's a star here, not MJF. You mess with a bull, you get the horns. Talk about a welcome back match, if that is the case. Roosh will lay the waste.
I mean, it's going to be crazy. I mean, it sucks that Roosh is losing his first match back.
That'd be huge. Big match, though. Well, these had little great enhancement matches. Like,
well,
I say,
okay.
Stuff, I don't choose, like, first feud.
Like, this means to me, I think probably we're getting Roosh back in Ring of Honor for a bit, which is fine. But, you know, if that prediction turns out to be true, I'm going to be really sad about it. Unless they make him the champion, which would be good. Like, maybe Mark Briscoe, they're just like, yeah, not working. Throw him on TV. TV title match. Boom. Champion. You know what I mean? I don't know. But that'd be that. Is it sad that I'm already there? It's kind of sad, right? Like,
we get the Casino Gauntlet, and they were 1-for-1 when they ran this a couple months back, and I gotta say they're 2-for-2, so let's go through the names. Switchblade and Pac were the first two entrants. This is a pretty good combo. Out comes Místico.
Royal Rumble 1 and 2, they have to be in a feud, duh.
Yep, out comes Místico. We get some Forbidden Door action kicking off. He had a really cool dive from the top. Will Ospreay came in next, hit the pip-pip cheerio on Místico. Had a cool face-off with Jay White. They keep teasing that. That'll be our world championship feud eventually.
I think that means Will's probably going to be – I think probably Will will face Místico on the next CMLL pay-per-view, I'm guessing. You know what I mean?
That'd be big.
Be cool.
He hit a flying La Mística on Ospreay. Before Ospreay could tap, Shota Umino entered in. Got Shooter chance. He slugged it out with Místico. They always make sure to mention how Moxley's his mentor. He had a really cool sequence.
I love the lore between AEW and New Japan, bro. Stuff like that's been there from like the beginning, you know what I mean? Like, that's like so cool to me. Like, and people in AEW love Shooter because of that. They're fans of his, and they watch his matches, and they follow him in New Japan because they love his connection to Moxley, and that he's basically like a pseudo Blackpool Combat Club member for all intents and purposes, you know what I mean?
Shota and Ospreay went on to have an incredible fucking sequence.
Say how it was. They had a match within this match.
It was seriously unbelievable. Out comes Claudio, who's always breaking shit. Giant swings aplenty. Leo Rush at 7. Wow, talk about someone we reference often that, man, if there's one guy Tony really actually did fumble. No, he didn't fumble CM Punk. Yeah, this, yeah. If he actually did fumble anyone, it really was Leo Rush.
They had the fucking golden goose and the keys to the kingdom for fucking Dante and Darius, who were like, I think, 21 and 23, 22 and 23 at the time, which, I mean, they might be like only like a year or two older since then. But like, you know, they were like fucking babies, and you had this guy that was like coming off of like a super hot run in the WWE that just got like kind of left in the dirt, you know what I mean, with all those releases that Vince did, you know, like, and was ready to take over the world, was about to go on like the craziest run I've ever seen like an individual have in a fucking tournament, you know what I mean, like, and my god, you know what I mean, like, just like, it's great to have him potentially be able to be used in AEW going forward. I think the fact that he came over for Forbidden Door with New Japan implies to me we have lost him, which is unfortunate.
And hey, that's okay. I'm fine with he signed to New Japan. We need people to watch, but it was really nice to see him get the collision match too. We haven't mentioned it yet today, but that was really nice. Out came Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy did his thing. Hechicero at 9, and he was our final one because Ospreay ends up hitting the Os Cutter on Orange Cassidy to win the match.
We might have to tune into a CMLL show just to watch like Hechicero and Mystico, just because like the two of them, like there's so many people that have come through that were just from that like little CMLL like sort of like versus AEW that we had for like a few months there. Like it wasn't even really a few months, like a month or whatever we had where they first introduced them onto the show early in the year or whatever. And like I gotta say, like the fact that we have that partnership and we have these incredible wrestlers, that it wasn't just AAA that had all the best luchadors in the world, you know. In fact, some of them were in CMLL, and the fact that we kept that partnership as opposed to keeping both like we had before, it's worked out, and I'm really excited because, you know what, I'm a little worried, and we have weeks to go, so we have plenty of time, but have we gotten any of those guys announced in a match yet? We're like, we have Stardom people, obviously, we know that, but are we getting this? We're definitely getting the CMLL guys on the show. Just in what way? You know what I mean? Hechicero obviously did some stuff on Collision, I think it was, where he's involved in some stuff now, so there's possibilities there. But, what are we going to get, Charlie? Like, do you have any thoughts on this, like, before we, like, go fully tilt into the next stuff?
I'm very torn. There's a part of me that feels like Will Ospreay didn't need to win this match. Like so now the international championship.
See, here's the thing though. Like, who are you going to put him against at Forbidden Door? There's people, but
I would have just done.
Is that
going
to be more important than putting over Swerve? Because there's honestly, I can't think of anybody in AEW you could have put over Swerve more right now than Will Ospreay. He's at the top of the. Swerve might be the champion, but, and this is going to sound disrespectful to Swerve, but I don't mean it this way. But I think the most popular wrestler in AEW right now is fucking Will Ospreay by a mile, you know? So I think if he beats Will, I think that's one of the only ways you can actually take Swerve's stock and take it up, even though it's really high right now. I think that's one of the only ways you can do it. Maybe him like straight up beating Brian in like another match in Seattle or something could be huge. But I think there'll be a plan for that at some point. But I don't think that's going to be the thing that elevates Swerve. He already had that match. We did that. You know what I mean? I think that is the thought process. Now, whether that's actually going to work or not. Eh.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to follow. I mean, imagine if they did go wild and put it on Hechicero, right? Yeah, I mean, just put the match, get that for the pay-per-view. I don't know. Let's jump into Rampage with a TNT ladder match qualifier. Konosuke Takeshita taking on defeating Penta El Cerro Miedo. This was fucking incredible. This was so good. The crowd was biting on every fucking bit here. And we're going to see, now we got, as well as Jack Perry with Konosuke. So this title match is getting interesting. I want to see more New Japan and CMLL guys get involved. I think we could have a really, really special ladder match here. Matt Menard officially is taking Chris Jericho's spot on commentary. I think this is for the best. The Undisputed Kingdom's failures at Double or Nothing were addressed. And he's taking on Leo Rush on tomorrow's Collision.
Do we think this means Matt Menard's in-ring career is probably over? Or do we think he might still wrestle?
I wouldn't say over, but...
All right. Different question. Is 2.0 as a tag team dead?
For the time being, yes. I we haven't heard anything about Angelo since they announced the father, right? So,
and you assume he's going to get that singles run he was setting up for when he gets back. So, yeah. You don't know.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait and see with that. But
or he might not get it at all. He may just be, you know, their contract might just expire. You know, who knows?
Satnam Singh defeats Peter Avalon. Cage of Agony speaks backstage, offering a challenge to all comers. Hechicero joins the group. Wait a minute.
Cage of Agony.
Plus Hechicero. Okay, count me in.
I mean, yeah, that's the only thing that, I mean, I'm more interested in them now because he's going to be involved, so I'm sure, you know, I mean, and all three guys, especially Bishop fucking Khan, are incredibly competent wrestlers. It's just their fucking, their name is terrible and they're kind of boring. So, you know, with well, Cage is kind of boring. The other two are fine, but the vibes in this segment, maybe there's something there while they have it too.
There might have been something there. I'm with you. There might have been something there. Timeless Toni Storm takes on and defeats Viva Van in an AEW World Champion Women's World Title Eliminator. Viva again, she comes off as the powerhouse a little bit, and I thought that was a good vibe. Toni Storm's so good. The crowd cares about her. And yeah, look for more in the future, right? Especially after this week on Rampage Rampage and Ring of Honor. Saray and Harley Cameron had some remarks, and Saray
and I give them their proper name. That's the Big Titty Committee.
And they're facing Saray is facing Harley. Saray is facing Mariah May on Dynamite next week. Kyle O'Reilly gets a quick squash match. Yeah, his strikes just got that. They got some bangers, those strikes. Johnny TV and Taya Valkyrie were backstage. He issued a match for Claudio at Collision. So that was pretty cool. And then we had that awesome main event in a overwhelming, I thought this was a thumbs up Rampage. So we've had some weak ones in the past. You know, I don't know who Satnam Singh versus Peter Avalon is for, but hey, it got TV time, right? So, yeah, let's go to AEW Collision.
Bud. Yeah. Tony Schiavone, fucking Schiavone, introduced FTR. And basically FTR were like, yeah, it sucks. We lost and, you know, we may be down and out right now. People might be out for a while. So they wrote like Brian and some of the others off TV for a bit, which is probably smart, you know, because they did go through like hell, you know, at the pay-per-view. And they were like, but we're going to get revenge on you eventually. So this isn't over, but it's on pause for now because of Forbidden Door. So this is kind of like what we've done around Forbidden Door in the past. Major stories like this that don't really make sense to run on the show aren't going to run for about a month. And then they'll pick back up after the show. You know what I mean? We may even get some action against the Bucks. We don't know what they're going to be doing. We assume they're going to face some kind of tag team from New Japan or something, I would presume, you know what I mean? Or be in, like, a multi-tag team match or something, you know, like, something, you know, along those lines. So, yeah, it's good to hear from FTR. Do you think they're going to get a match in the pay-per-view, or maybe they'll get this month off as well?
FTR?
Yes.
I got to imagine they're going to be featured in some capacity, right?
Part of me really, really wishes... And I don't know if this would be an appropriate match, but we have had just straight AEW matches on Forbidden Doors in the past, haven't we, that didn't feature any New Japan people, right? Like, we've definitely had title matches that didn't, but have we ever had any singles matches? Because if we did, we could just throw, or well, I shouldn't say singles, a tag match. Like, if somehow Mark Davis is available, maybe we finally get that match on a pay-per-view. But I don't know if that's, I haven't heard anything about Davis in a while, so he could still be out for a while, you know? All right, next segment. Great fucking promo by the guy that fucking hates promos, Charlie. Jack Perry posts the fucking being set on fire at Double or Nothing promo. Incredible stuff.
Oh my God. I mean, seriously.
Blood, sweat, and what was the thing that he said he did? It wasn't tears. It was blood, sweat, and fire, bro. And the fucking goddamn did synergy with fucking House of the Dragon. I don't care if somebody told him to say that. It's incredible. Jack Perry is a Targaryen. All right. Jack Perry is Fagon. Anyway. Fucking Jesus Christ, man. Like, what a crazy, again, obviously the guy must have fucking, again, like how Will Ospreay went through and learned how to do promos and stuff. I'm sure this guy has been fucking learning shit, you know what I mean? Like, and God, it's just so funny to think back to like when people were saying that about him and look at what he's doing now. It's incredible. Speaking of incredible, Roderick Strong took on Leo Rush. Now, it wasn't like a spectacularly long match, but Leo's just too fucking good. It doesn't matter. You could give him 10 minutes. You could give him 5 minutes. You could give him a minute and he would have a fucking great match somehow. You know, like, I don't think he's lost a step since the tournament last year. There was this moment where Leo hit this like moonsault off the apron onto the, you know, the Undisputed Kingdom. And then immediately, like seconds later, the Wrecking Ball drop kick came. It was like so perfectly timed. Like Roddy's so fucking good at that. Like, it's a really good match. Really enjoyed that there. Any thoughts there, Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Roddy is so fucking good. It was really nice to see Leo back. And yeah, I thought it just set the tone for a really nice collision in terms of wrestling.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I wasn't used to collision opening up with a live in ring promo though. That was a little different, right?
Shout out Canada buds, because we had backstage cutting a promo about facing Lord Willard, bud. He's like, hey, I'm gonna face you. I'm gonna take that championship, bud, and go back to Canada, and we're gonna have a fucking poutine fucking party and fucking go down the block, you know. Yeah, good stuff. Daniel Garcia and Katsuhiro Shibata took on the Workhorsemen. God damn it, Tony, don't get my hopes up with the fucking Workhorsemen. God damn it. love everyone in the match and everything they did. Nice win for Daniel Garcia here and Shibata, I suppose, as well. Stokely and Ristatlander were backstage, and they compared Willow Nightingale trash, Charlie, to garbage. How dare they? Stat then also challenged anyone, so she's going to slaughter some young innocent woman next week. Pray for them. Thunder Rosa, by the way, if you want to stop me at any point, just let me know if you have anything to add. Thunder Rosa took on Reina Dorada. She started off with using one of Deanna's moves. So I guess being on the pre-show, I guess they're not done with each other then. Which I mean, it's probably fair because they probably should have a pay-per-view match. Let's be honest, you know. That was a miss last pay-per-view cycle. I'm sorry. That match should have been on the card. I don't know why it wasn't.
At least I kept trying to say
4.5 hours, yeah. But like, I get that, but like you could have cut something else. Like, I don't know if anything.
I've never seen Reina Dorada before. I thought she was pretty decent. Yeah, she used a lot of time. I thought she was pretty decent.
Rosa, this was also Rosa I've been waiting for as well. She was super hard hitting here. I think they're turning it up because they know they're actually getting the nod on the pay-per-view this time. You know what I mean? Like, that might be the random one versus one AEW match we get on this pay-per-view. Might be like a women's match. And that's okay if that's the case. Cage of Agony took on some like random tag team in KM. They pillaged the village here. Not much to add besides that. Johnny TV took on Claudio Castagnoli. So I think I missed. Did we miss a video segment? I think I missed one earlier in the show. No, it was on one of these shows where he called out Claudio, right? Anyway, I forget. It wasn't really.
Yeah, that was on Rampage. I covered it.
Okay, I just must have missed when you said it because it was like just like a second of the show or something. But yeah, like he did call him out, and I was like, oh, okay, that's a match that I'm sure will be good. Johnny's almost like the king of the nerds in a way. Like, he's never going to win a championship probably in AEW, I wouldn't think. But, which I could be wrong about, that could change. I thought the same thing about certain other wrestlers too, you know what I mean? But he can like put anyone over that's like legit or not legit, and it's going to benefit them one way or the other. And he's super athletic for his you know, age. And Claudio's super consistent. So, you know, it just worked out. It was a good solid little match here, you know what I mean?
Claudio. I think the people love Claudio.
I think he's going to get some kind
of. They really do.
He could. I wish they hadn't blown the Bluckin title match with fucking Swerve instantly. I know they wanted to have that match, but it could have been a good fucking program for him without Claudio.
Makes me every time because of how much it felt.
Who
like
can
he
was we put Claudio against him right now that would work? I mean, Will's going to need an opponent.
So. Darby Allin thing. Let's do a blood feud, man. Seriously,
that could be really good. There's options. There's options for Claudio. Like, give him something to do. Fuck, Johnny TV proved with Dalton Castle he can actually, but that wasn't great, but he, you know, that was mostly just the way that program was done. I think Johnny TV could probably do something with somebody, like, just do something, shit. Shane Taylor Promotions took on the West Coast Wrecking Crew, which is a tag team that I've actually, weirdly, we haven't seen much on a lot of the New Japan we've watched, but they're a team that you're into, right, Charlie?
They were a New Japan strong team for a while. I'm going to double check that, but yes, they were, and, it looks like they're just kind of wrestling indies now, and they do some work in New Japan, but it's just the New Japan Strong, so.
Yeah, I mean, if this is a team that Tony's looking at, maybe, but I mean, you know, it don't have to be brought in, but Shane Taylor during this match was like, the technical portion of this evening has ended, and I was just like, God damn it.
So fucking good. Shane, he gets it. He seriously
does. He's fucking locked in. This group is now like, because there was a little worry in me, like, because him and Lee are obviously really good, right? But I was like, who's going to be the third in this group? Because it always felt like there was missing a portion. And then they brought in Anthony Ogogo, and I was like, fuck, this group just sings to me. You know what I mean? So it's going great right now. A group that doesn't sing to me, or Killswitch for that matter, Jack Jameson was backstage cutting a promo, brother. And
oh my God.
Killswitch just, he activated the Killswitch.
The promo, the trios division was full of vegans, and they didn't want any of their beef.
Well, Jack Jameson's a fan. Jack Jameson listens to the pod. He listens to the pod, and he's a fan, and that's why he's cutting a promo on it. He's cutting that promo on us. And then he's like, oh, I feel bad. All right, respect to the vegans, you know? But yeah, no, I mean, fucking. Yeah, fucking. But no, I mean, and then we had our main event with Lost Favorites, Kyle O'Reilly, which was really good. And then we got some comments from Swerve Strickland at the end of the show. Let's talk a little bit about that before we, you know, go through the next week and stuff like that. Swerve talked about Will Ospreay and what Roderick Strong and how everyone thinks they can just, like, call out the champion because it's him. And that's not how it works. You're going to have to earn your shit, but he'll give Roddy what he wants so he can put him in his place, basically.
Swerve said he recorded that at his house on Busted Open this week.
That's pretty sick. I'm not surprised. Swerve's fucking... I completely 100%. I mean, you could tell by the framing and the video style, but he had a pretty good camera, and I like the way he set up the shot in front of that really sick looking painting in his background. But you could tell that it was recorded that way, but I didn't bother me at all that that was the case because I was like, yeah, I mean, I buy that Swerve would just sit down and hear he gets texted or called by Tony Khan like, hey, you're facing Roderick Strong next week, and you still feel like you will, blah blah blah. You know, like
Swerve is such a good representation of the company and just representatives really.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also on display during that interview with Busted Open, where it honestly felt like they tried to corner him a little bit at times. And
yeah, I saw that. I'll have to go in and watch that because I'm not surprised that the people at Busted Open, they've always had it. Bro, I don't understand why the people at Busted Open feel like they've always had it out for AEW from jump. The fucking main dude on there, the like old dude with the white hair, he always fucking has something to fucking negative to say.
And it's so weird because they have Thunder Rosa as a weekly.
You know, like, she's also fucking brags on the company sometimes, which pisses me off. Like, during the CM Punk saga, she was always on there talking about how she was friends with CM Punk, and I have no problem with Thunder Rosa, but it just felt fucking disingenuous when she would do stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, and, like, I don't know, like, and... I feel as though that program is fine, but it does not surprise me one bit that Mark Henry immediately jumped in on that because he's tight with all those people up there. And I don't understand it. Do you think the reason why Bully Ray is pissed off at AEW is because they've never really given him a run? Like,
it feels like he
should have one at some point because he is a pretty iconic wrestler. I mean, he's not that good anymore.
There's a lot of rumors out there about people that are on those Legends deals that always try to go out of their way to shit on it. I mean, I don't know. That it's all politics at the end of the day, I think. So, you know, it's same with Bischoff and all
it's
that.
It's the tribalism shit. No, I think Bischoff is actually genuinely just pissed off that another show could potentially be like WCW.
Like people that watch us, they understand we're taking the piss. Like we fuck around a lot. We joke about it. We're not going to sit here and fucking declare war. It's not the goddamn Civil War. It's wrestling at the end of the goddamn day.
Yeah, they have an issue. Okay, at least what I will say, because I haven't actually said this blankly on the show before, but if any other show were to ever, like, start saying, like, oh, ESE is, like, just fucking this or that, or you know, they're fucking talking shit. Like, this is all I'm saying. I am never not going to be critical of, like, I have literally flamed the same guy who does, and I've literally stopped using his articles at this point. I don't know if you've noticed this, Charlie, but I just don't trust him anymore, the guy that covers Ring of Honor for fucking... Wrestling Observer. And I've flamed Dave Meltzer and flamed Brian Alvarez for fucking dong takes in the past. And, like, I will never not be critical of the other people that cover this sport because there's just so much, like, BS that goes on. And the tribalism makes it feel okay to some people because they're like, well, they're part of my team, so I don't really care, you know? Like, and it's like, I think you just got to be more professional about it sometimes, you know? Like,
it blows my mind that tribalism exists in this kind of space. Like it's literally at the end of the day in this kind of space of wrestling, it blows my mind.
I know when wrestling was like a couple of years ago, like on its last fucking legs, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And it's now barely come back because people were interested enough to like keep it alive. But like, it's, you know, there was a real probably serious conversation that people were probably having. I mean, there was a conversation of Vince selling WWE and just walking away. You know what I mean? Like, that was a fucking real thing that was happening for a bit. You know, like, I don't think it was ever realistic, you know, because obviously Vince didn't want to step away when they were trying to force him out. But, like, I think there was a time when wrestling was really just not – it was really in the shits. And then, you know, things happened and it's back where it is now. And I think we should just appreciate that we still have it, especially post-pandemic with how much, like, went away, you know, like,
yeah,
and it's just never going to come back. And we still have wrestling, and we should thank people like Tony Khan and Triple H and the others who helped us through those times, because without wrestling, these people would be fucked, a lot of them, you know, like, what would all these wrestlers do, Charlie? A lot of them have degrees and stuff, but, like, the most of them would be, imagine Adam Cole if he could never wrestle again, how fucking miserable he would be.
Sad, you know? Be very sad. And at the end of the day, we all need to remember Taco Cat spelled backwards is Taco Cat. So thank you very much for spending your time with us again. If you if you just love listening to us ramble and talk, go check out Eat Sleep Elite Fantasy. It's all the same. Just go hit the little follow button if you're on Spotify. Make sure you vote on the polls. So if you happen to listen to this podcast the instant it's posted, the poll won't be there. But it's only because it takes like an hour for us to put it in. So it's not available right away, at least it's on Spotify. That being said,
it takes us what now?
You know the vibes. Here we go.
Shut up, bitches.
Hey. Thanks, everyone, for sticking around. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. And, yeah, another week, another day, another dollar, another Wardlow. See ya!
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.